So, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers of this conference for this invitation to contribute to this conference, and I would like to thank them also for the invitation of the conference in its first stage, which invited us to reflect on the manuscript visual impression and expression, and the visual impression produced by the artifacts and their patrons, and the visual expressions of the religious conviction of the faithful. This is what the original invitation said. So the attention to the development of manuscripts, a long time for answering new needs. And for this reason, I am very glad to have the opportunity to present my current project on Quranic manuscript, because its ultimate goal is exactly to understand to which needs the vocalization system answered a long time. The project is a co-joint project funded by the HRC and the DEFK and started in 2020. I am the co-PI at Hamburg, and Jeffrey Kahn is the co-PI at the University of Cambridge. So the German team at the University of Hamburg is working on the Quranic manuscript material, and the British team at the University of Cambridge is investigating Syriac and Hebrew Bible manuscripts. The purpose of the project, named the Intertwined World of the Oral and Written Transmission of Sacred Traditions in the Middle East, is to bring together strands of research related to various aspects of the transmission of sacred texts in order to reach a deeper understanding of the intertwined world of the oral and the written, and the intertwined world of the three major religions of the Middle East at their formative periods of development during the early Islamic centuries. So the Arabic Quran, Syriac Bible, Hebrew Bible all were transmitted in oral and written form, and the modes of transmission of these traditions converge to a remarkable degree in the medieval Middle East, reflecting likely a close contact between the various religious communities. So two particularly striking phenomena of convergence include, first, the development of a notation system consisting mainly of dots and lines, as we have seen in Marijn's presentation, added to the consonantal skeleton of the script, representing the oral reading traditions in the early Islamic period, and secondly, the assimilation of the mode of transmission of the Hebrew Bible in the 10th-11th century to that of the Arabic Quran. So the embryonic development of such notation system is attested simultaneously in the early Quranic manuscript and contemporary Syriac Bible manuscripts. So the convergence of the transmission modes of the Hebrew Bible with the Quran reached its extreme point in a corpus of Hebrew Bible manuscripts written in Arabic transcription by the Jewish Karaite community in the 10th and 11th century. So as regards my work, so as regards the work on the individual tradition with the, this multidisciplinary project, I'm working on the Quranic manuscripts with a specific target at the diacritic layers that have been developed and added along the time. And in particular, I'm looking at the vowel dot layer, dots and lines, so partially overlapping with Marijn's research questions. The analysis of the description of the diacritic system given in medieval treatises and the analysis of their correspondence in the extant early Quranic manuscript have already been carried out, and Marijn already mentioned, and I like to repeat at least names of people present in the room, so Alan George and Eleonore Sellar. So these previous works have identified correspondences between the accounts and the physical objects with important contributions in establishing a possible classification of codes and regional habits in the manuscript vocalization system. So moreover, the works by Yassin Datton and And the others are indeed, so Alan George and Eleanor Sellar, are indeed instrumental for reading the manuscripts and making hypotheses about the provenance and date of their vocalization system. So building upon the results of this previous work, this previous analysis of the vocalization system, in the project we are following this investigation, focusing on mainly on the diachronic development of the system and the stratification of several layers of diacritics, the distribution of diacritics, so the distribution of vowels, consonantal diacritics, and any markup signs or annotations, and then the different usages, I mean the exploration of usages and the richness of details that are not described in the medieval treatises, so a concept already stressed by Alan George in his 2015 article, somehow experienced by Yassin Dutton in his 2017 article, and also experienced by Moraine, as we have heard. And then, particularly in connection with the multidisciplinary approach of the project, we are focusing on the relationship between the oral and written transmission, meant as the oral dimension of the manuscript text, and in particular, we are exploring the suprasegmental signs. And then, of course, we are focusing on the possible contacts between patterns in Syriac, Hebrew, and Arabic around the 7th, 8th century up to the 10th, 11th century. And, of course, possible contacts or not. We are open. As regards the methodology, the investigation on the early Quranic manuscript focuses on a few fragments that have an incomplete vowel dot system. So this was the main criterion for selecting the corpus. So we did an incomplete system like the second manuscript from the left. Hopefully, this incomplete vowel dot system encapsulates the original function of these vowel dots and other diacritical signs that were added from the 8th century on, when Arab Muslims introduced their first vocalization dot system, which was later replaced by modern vowel letters that first appeared in non-Quranic manuscripts of the 9th century. So the Quranic manuscript continued to use the archaic dot system, and some manuscripts have both systems in their stratigraphy, a sign of a long use over time, adapting the script of the early manuscript to the development of a new marker system in the Arabic writing. So innovation and conservatism are two overlapping phenomena that characterize the Arabic writing system at its beginning. So in our analysis of the Quranic manuscript writing system, the methodology, so the analysis is based on a digital annotation of details in the manuscript images. This is just a screenshot because I don't have the time to show the live software. So we annotate digitally the details of the manuscript images for later being able to search and compare letters and diacritics, thus applying what is called digital plus paleography, which is meant as self-reflective tools to question models we use to analyze the objects, which is Arianna Chula definition and approach, and we are following this approach. So reading early Quranic manuscripts and interpreting their early vocalization system that was later replaced with a more efficient system required to question the model scholars built upon a one-to-one correspondence between the dot system and the modern letter system of vocalization. But of course, the passage from one system to the other represents a reformatting of the text and its reading in a new form. And here is, as I told you, is a screenshot of how we annotate the letters and diacritic layer mintes consonantal diacritic vowels or any other sign added to the consonantal skeleton by annotating each detail. Here you can see we annotate the dots as a dot with a certain color in a certain position, which is right, left, center, baseline above or below, and other details. So the digital paleographic annotations are just an instrument for reading, questioning our model, and encoding the manuscript text and features in an editorial environment that allows to create data from the manuscript that can be processed, analyzed, and mined for answering the research question proposed in our project, but also research questions related to the Quranic text in its manuscript culture that are not part of this three-year joint project. So data can be used, for example, for phylogenetic analysis. As far as the manuscript and their text are encoded in a certain way. So we create and store our transcription in several formats, in XML, but also in plain text, in JSON, and then in XMLTI, so following the standard of the text encoding initiative. And these transcriptions are the input method, so we start from the first to the left for the input. And it's just an input method to collect our data for further processing and for being able to execute very specific and complex queries from the data of our transcriptions. We align the manuscript text with the Othmanic version of the Tanzil Quranic text edition. And at the same time, we also aligned it with the morphological information provided by the LEEDS project. In this way, we can filter our results by morphological traits as well as compare it with the modern Quranic orthography. And of course, the idea behind the different format is that we thought about data analysis, but we also thought about data shareability and sustainability, and so that independently from the software we are using, from the website we are using, data is stored in a certain way and can then be uploaded in any repository and be there for a long time. And I built this model with my colleague, Alicia González Martínez. So in their capacity as digital objects, we can and should restore the vowel dots and the diacritical layers of the manuscript back to their visual dimension and back to the manuscript page, abandoning the reformatting of the vowel dot system into the modern sign system. And moreover, we should, and here I'm quoting a work in media studies, so we should see the turn to digital images as yet another remediation of materially extant text in manuscripts, because media matter, and that changes in technological media will influence human sensation, experience, knowledge, and or practice, end of quotation. So remediation of the manuscript page is given by the new experience that we can have accessing manuscripts through the digital open access images. And of course, one example is the BNF. So questioning and reformatting the script we experience in the page. This, of course, could be further elaborated in connection with new philology, with material culture, but because of time and especially because we are still in the middle of our project collecting data, I will just show you two situations I encountered in the manuscript. So one situation is related to distribution of a symbol, so the symbol used for Shadda, and another situation is related to the possible meaning of the position of the vowel dots, and I mean position in addition to the ones that we know from the medieval treatises, so partially again overlapping moraine. And the The first situation is, as I told you, a symbol for the tajdid. So we have more than one symbol corresponding to tajdid that nowadays is marked with a small sheen. And this picture, to my knowledge, is the model that we know up to now from the analysis of the manuscripts. So the tajdid indeed can be marked by zero or by a vowel dot only, so zero plus the vowel dot, a semicircle that has been already connected with the letter dal shape described by Adani, two semicircle which correspond to the small sheen in Adani and correspond to the modern sign, and lastly the tajdid can be marked by a color code, as you can see in the bottom left example. So the red dot below the ra in Bilkhairi marks the vowel I, Kasra, while the blue dot below the letter ra in Bishari marks both vowel and tajdid. So one sign for two pieces of information. In manuscript with a partial vocalization marker system, the distribution of shadda symbols has different patterns. The pattern that occurs most frequently, that I was able to observe up to now, is that the symbol, when it is used, mark a proper germination only and not the assimilation. In some manuscripts, the tajdid symbol is used only to mark the germination in words that would have another meaning without tajdid. Thus, for example, in the pair kadhaba-kadhaba, so to lie or to accuse of lying, the tajdid symbol is added to distinguish the two contrastive sounds only when it is needed, when it's the only possible sign to distinguish the two words. So, as I told you, we are still collecting data for observing the distribution of the shadda, but I would like to make a further observation about the shape of the symbols used in correspondence of the tajdid and its position as a possibly a suprasegmental sign. So, in a two-leaf fragment from Damascus, that is also a modern signs for the vowels, the shadda symbol is constituted by two vertical wavy lines in red ink, which, to my knowledge, have not been described in previous literature, and I would be just happy to hear that someone has already an interpretation for that. So it is used to mark the proper germination for distinguishing mainly pair of words, but also to mark assimilation when only one consonant is kept in the consonantal skeleton. In this manuscript, likely from Damascus too, the shadda symbol is represented by a horizontal line with a semicircle, which again, to my knowledge, has not been described in previous literature. So as regards its distribution, it is used as well to mark mainly the proper germination for distinguishing pair words, but not only, and we are still working on the pattern. What is interesting is the position of this symbol, if the position has a meaning. So here the same verb, kadhaba, has the symbol for the germination of dal, but as you can see, the symbol is not placed in the same position. So it is placed between dal and ba in the three examples on the left, or between kaf and dal in the picture at the top right. In dhukira, we have the same. So the position of the shadda is the same. It's between the first and the second letter. So my initial hypothesis, and I'm going in this direction, is that the position can mark as well the stress. As regards its shape, I haven't yet a precise argument for explaining these wavy lines. We are working on that, and I mean with the Cambridge team also. So what I can observe is basically there being a connection between two syllables, somehow similarly to the joining line between the letters dal and tha that you can see at the bottom right. So if the symbol is a mark, if it is the case, so if it is a joining element, again the symbol can mark a suprasegmental feature. And so my second situation that I would like to show you is related again to a suprasegmental sign category regarding the dots. So according to the accepted model, as we have seen in Marijn's presentation, the dots have three rather clearly defined positions. I would say domain in terms of space around the letter, except of course the very complicated case of wow, Aleph and Ya with Hamza, and in general the Hamza. But for the rest, according to the accepted model, the dots have three clear defined positions. But then in the manuscript reality, we have a wider range of possibilities. And these possibilities mean that the dots are, at the end, difficult to be understood unequivocally, at least in this early manuscript, not written at all for hosting vowel dots. So my focus is on those dots that are placed between words, thus crossing word boundaries, in order to explore the possible natural suprasegmental sign. So here you can see the final dot for Castra in Alamuweli is physically attached to the wow of the following word. So the transcription that we are using and that we developed encodes this dot, which is below the letter but placed at its left, piercing the first letter of the following word. So in this transcription in Latin alphabet and other symbols, we put all these pieces of information. And I'm going to show you very quickly some further examples taken from the same manuscript. So here you have Allahi or Lillahi. So the same dot, the same word, same vocalization, but different position for the final vowel. Here is another example. So Fajama'a. And you can see that the dot for the final, for the fatha, is placed between the two words. In this example too, the final dot for the kasra is placed at the left of the final lam. And how are we sure that this is something not part of the system used in the manuscript, so can be another meaning? Because we compare this situation with the possible position of a dot marking Kasra in the same manuscript after the paleographic annotation of the images that I showed you. So we see that the dot is almost always placed below the letter, so we take into consideration the same letter, same position, same dot. So it's placed, the dot is placed below the letter in correspondence of the vertical line of the ascender, so in the middle, at the center of the letter, or at the right of the descender. So the position at the left in this manuscript is not what is usually used. So one possibility to explore is whether the dot position here marks the connection with the following word in the pair, we want to see whether the connection is not just a visual connection, but is referring to the reading. And I would go toward the conclusion. quoting Alan George's final statement in his article. So modern scholarship has tended to approach these manuscripts as the record of a text and as a flat canvas crafted for the eyes. But these were full objects meant to be displayed, studied, and used for recitation. So they conveyed not only an image, but also a sound that carried into the public sphere at the heart of daily life in cities and towns. End of quotation. So, to conclude, the investigation of these tiny details of the diacritic layers of the early manuscript can shed light on the orality as a performance, on the oral dimension of the written scriptural text, to quote Graham, as it is evident from the suprasegmental signs that disappeared later, like all the signs for Wasla, for example, or like the green line turning upwards that we can see here in this picture. So the remediation of the manuscript page makes manuscripts as visual objects that the reader can experience without the mediation of the printed text and have to be understood taking into consideration their plan or executed performance. So this investigation on the diacritic layer sheds light on the materiality of the process of disambiguation of the script of the Quran. To understand the function of the diacritic strata added along centuries means to understand the new needs that these diacritic symbols aimed at answering, and these needs are particularly evident in those manuscripts with a partial vocalization and those manuscripts in which the dots are a later introduction. So the innovation of the vowel dots and of the whole markup system is part of the changes that the written transmission of the Quranic text underwent, which is exactly the proposed focus of this conference. So thanks again for this invitation, and of course more results hopefully will follow from the two teams of the InterSAMI project, so including the investigation of the possible contacts with the other traditions. So thank you.